This week in patron-exclusive Friday episodes of Retronauts, we look at the greatest console of the pre-Atari crash era, Coleco's ColecoVision. Jared Petty and Nadia Oxford join us this week to discuss the greatest console ever produced by a leather manufacturer, as well as the other game systems that led Coleco to become a first party in the first place, and the toys that kept them afloat once ColecoVision and the Atom imploded along with the rest of the U.S. console industry. This episode is one of our bi-weekly exclusives for Patreon subscribers. To enjoy the full conversation, all you need to do is go to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribe to the show at the $5 per month or higher level. You'll also gain instant access to all the other Friday episodes we produced this year, as well as a library of weekly This Week in Retro columns and audio recordings by Diamond Fight. So check us out at patreon.com/retronauts. And for now, enjoy this teaser. But they never made a smaller version of ColecoVision because it did not survive long enough to be iterated upon. And that's a shame. But in its brief life, it was home to some interesting games, some good games, and it has a pretty cool story behind it. So we want to explore that. But first, before we do that, I'd like to know how each of you how your life has intersected with ColecoVision. Like what is it to you? How did you play it? What has your experience been? Nadia, tell us, like, why are you calling in from Canada to talk about ColecoVision?
Well, as it turns out, my story is quite Canadian because ColecoVision was my first console. But more than that, my parents just spontaneously brought one home while they were at a hockey game. And,
I thought you were going to say the government gave it to you.
There was a Tim Hortons giveaway and
socialized ColecoVision. Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of brought one home out of the blue. And I don't know where they got it, probably from some guy in an alley. Like, hey, you want to scalp a ColecoVision, but whatever. Yes, it was my first console. And that means Donkey Kong was my first video game, the ColecoVision adaptation of Donkey Kong.
Nice. Bob, how about you?
I may have told this story in the original, but that doesn't exist anymore as far as I'm concerned. But
it's been so long, I don't remember a single word that was uttered aside from ColecoVision.
I've never actually played ColecoVision in my life. I've held the controllers, the really bad controllers, and I've seen it at like cons and things like that. But the ColecoVision was the first time I was actually'd in real life by a nerd.
Nice.
And that I was getting into retro gaming stuff in the 90s, just like reading about all the stuff I missed because this console came out when I was born, 1982. And I read the words ColecoVision, but I wasn't sure how to say it. I didn't ever hear it spoken out loud. No one was talking about ColecoVision in 1999. So I was walking by a guy at a flea market just selling a bunch of old games. And I walked up to the ColecoVision. And I was like, oh, ColecoVision. And the guy did go, it's ColecoVision. And then I walked away. So,
and he was right to do so.
It was historic for me to be on a Max lead in real life. And that happens every day now. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before Twitter existed, you had to go to a retro gaming show and talk about ColecoVision.
A man. But if you look at Connecticut Leather Company, my pronunciation makes more sense.
Coleco, yeah.
Yeah, Coleco.
I agree.
Coleco. It's for babies who are fussy. Jared, how about you?
And horse.
When I was 3 years old, my parents, like many, purchased an Atari VCS, which was a wise and thoughtful purchase. When I was 5, my parents decided that I was going to live at the cutting edge of the computer revolution, and they were going to go purchase me a home computer. And for reasons beyond fathoming, instead of going out and grabbing a Commodore 64 or an Apple IIe, they decided that the ColecoVision represented the wave of the future because it came with a printer and a scholarship so I could go to college and a Cabbage Patch doll. And so they purchased that, and the ColecoVision became my household's default home computer for many, many years following, and my parents' chief argument that I did not deserve an NES, which has turned me into an angry and bitter man.
Mm. You seem very bitter when I encounter you. You just seethe.
Yeah, it's all that. It's repressed NES rage.
Right. All right. So I'm remind me what the scholarship was, because it's ringing a bell, but I've forgotten exactly what that was.
That's a joke.
Oh, sorry. No, it's not a joke. It's quite real.
Isn't that a Cabbage Patch scholarship though? Was it tied to Coleco?
There are two different parts to this.
Whoa.
So first, there's a tie-in offer where if you purchased a Coleco Vision and Burger Time, you got a free Cabbage Patch doll thrown in. And that was at a period of time where Coleco, they didn't make enough Cabbage Patch dolls to deal with when it took off. Then they over-manufactured, which ultimately helped destroy their company. And when they couldn't get rid of their over-manufactured Cabbage Patch dolls, they began to pack them in with ColecoVisions to help incentivize families to purchase
them.
Yeah, there's a pretty hilarious commercial about this on YouTube you can watch. The scholarship was buy a Coleco Atom for roughly $500 at that point and get a $500 scholarship for your child to go to college someday.
Hmm.
When I went after college to help pay for my wedding, I found my $500 Coleco scholarship still in my family's lockbox.
I thought you were going to say that if you buy ColecoVision and Burger Time, you get an internship at McDonald's or something like that at Hamburger University.
No, as far as I know, the scholarship was specifically an Atom tie-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's like the people who kept their Ninja Turtles 2 Pizza Hut coupon. You should try to reimburse that or reimburse that or whatever at your bursar's office wherever you went to school. Just like, this is coming to me.
Yeah, you owe me. You
Bill
guys.
Connecticut.
All right. And as for myself, kind of like Nadia, my parents just brought home a ColecoVision at some point. But this was – I know I talked about this on the previous episode. But this was after the video game crash, probably 1984, early 85 maybe. So they were able to get the ColecoVision and the expansion module version of Coleco Atom for probably a song. I bet it was super cheap. I think the real cost of that system was just how much space – the boxes took up in our attic. Like that box was like you could put the G.I. Joe USS flag in that goddamn thing.
Wow.
It was mad. Like children could hide in it. You could smuggle so many drugs across the border in that Coleco Atom box.
It truly was just a magnificent sarcophagus of consumerism.
It was huge. And the system itself was also huge because the expansion version used the ColecoVision as the base of the computer, but then it added a keyboard, it added like a processor unit, it added a disk drive, and it added a printer. So it was basically like an entire double-decker desk with then there was a tiny TV attached to it. It was massive, but it was a computer that we could use at home and for a few years.
I just had like the Atari module that you attached to the Coleco. But no computers.
Yeah, I had the Coleco version of the Tower of Power with this thing. Mm-hmm. I had the Atom, which was actually – I had the dedicated Atom, not the add-on. And that the ColecoVision itself is immense.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Atom is significantly bigger.
Yeah, the ColecoVision is huge because it has a storage bay for two controllers that are the size of a 1980s telephone handset. So that has to fit in there in addition to the processor and the GPU and everything.
And the printer itself, this huge daisy wheel thing, is many times the size of contemporary home computers. I mean it's just a giant super brick, far bigger than like the dot matrix you may be imagining. And then like Nadia, I had the Atari plug-in on the side. And so you did just have this thing. The desk that it took to hold it was – which it was larger than the computer desk. We had to buy a separate section and add it to the side just to hold it all.
It was a monstrosity. But maybe that is to be expected from a company that was not really originally geared toward technology and computers. Coleco was, as Bob mentioned, Connecticut Leather Company when it started out in the – I want to say 1920s or so. And for a long time, they worked in leather and stuff. And in the 60s, maybe 70s, a guy named Arnold Greenberg came in as president of the company, and he pushed them more toward technology. And thanks to Greenberg, the company actually got into video gaming pretty early compared to a lot of other companies. They launched their very first video game in 1976, a year after Home Pong was released by Atari. And as you might expect, their initial system was in fact an Atari Pong clone because everyone was doing that.